This is David Duke. And this is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio Broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent, no matter where they may live upon the earth. Today, I've got a great show for you, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, this program is indeed oriented toward the needs, the heritage, the culture, the politics, the traditions, the values, the interests of the European people. But this program is valuable, I think, to all people because we have a common enemy, and that is the force of organized Jewish extremism. Some people call it Zionism, and there are many other terms people use to describe it, but it certainly does exist. They have immense power in government, in media, all over the world, and they're affecting national and international policies. They've certainly been the primary orchestrator of the so-called Iraq War, which is a devastating war, not only for the Iraqi people, but also for the American people. They have been dramatic in their destructive natures against the values of Western civilization and culture. Hollywood has not been an instrument of national renewal and of high moral position by any means. It has undermined the values of Western civilization. As you know, Hollywood does not elevate the highest ideals of Western civilization or of mankind, but it seems to cater to the lowest common denominator. It absolutely throws excrement, if that's the word for it, on the highest values of our people and really of all people. Today I'm going to give you a glimpse into the speech and press conference that I made at my university, and that is MAYP University, which is the largest university of Ukraine, situated in Kyiv, Ukraine. I made this speech just a few days ago at this speech, which was sponsored by the university administration. They invited many top journalists, many top educators, very many individuals who are famous in the nation of Ukraine. One of the individuals that was present gave me a fascinating question. He, in fact, was the interpreter between Khrushchev and Kennedy during the famous confrontation of that era. He literally interpreted during those days, live with Kennedy and Khrushchev. Amazing. He also was a very big backer of my talk, and there were many, many other very interesting individuals present, and the university definitely is strong and vibrant for the ideals of nationalism as opposed to globalism and as opposed to international Zionism. The international Zionists, of course, are trying to put a great pressure upon Ukraine. The Israeli government demanded that Ukraine not even allow the president of the university, Mr. Shokin, to appear on the ballot during the last elections. He did appear in the ballot, but the government did everything they could to suppress his campaign and the knowledge of his campaign before the Ukrainian people. But imagine a government anywhere in the world demanding that another nation not extend the rights of freedom of speech or political activity to an individual they simply don't like. That's chutzpah, no doubt about it. And this is something that is consistent with the evils and the dangers of international Jewish supremacism, otherwise called Zionism today. The university is fighting on, but I must tell you that the Jewish extremists are using every bit of power in that country to try to shut down the university. That's right. They're trying to revoke the licenses of the university, which, again, is the largest university in Ukraine. It is authorized and validated by UNESCO and other international academic bodies. Many of its academics, in fact, are teaching at other and major universities around the world. One professor I know quite well who worked with me in my thesis there, Professor Sudikov, is now head of the sociology department at one of the largest, in fact, the other largest universities in Ukraine. And that's what they call the red building university, because it's famous for its red brick. And that's the state university. MOP is a private school. Now, one of the arguments they're trying to use to shut down the university is that only public education should be allowed. And interestingly enough, the head of education in Ukraine literally boasted about the fact that he shut down 400 private institutions and that he was going to shut down 120 more because he is of the socialist stripe and he believes education should only be by the state, not by private institutions. Of course, this is very alien to what we believe in America, and it's certainly alien not only to freedom of speech and the academic process, but it's also alien and it's harmful to tens of hundreds of thousands of students who can get alternate education, who wouldn't even receive a higher education except for the fact that they can attend private universities. But they're literally trying to do this. They're trying to squeeze the university more and more, revoke more and more of its educational licenses until they basically cause the university to close its doors. It's a very dangerous time. The university lost a recent decision. They're appealing it. That decision won't close its doors, but the point is that day may come when the Jewish extremists finally get the power to close the doors. Now, in this speech, I begin the speech, and I move to the podium closer. There is a translator, and you hear his voice early on in the speech. Later on, what we've done is we've gone through the tape, and we've edited out the translator so you can hear the speech in a straightforward English. So sometimes the conversation may be a little disjointed because of the gap between the translator and his translation from English to Ukrainian. And later on in the questions, from the Ukrainian questions to English, then my English response and the Ukrainian translation. So I'm cutting out some of the Ukrainian and trying to make the tape more agile, more listenable by these edits. So I hope you enjoy it very much. I think you'll find it interesting. This is going to be the first part of my very recent, very large press conference. We filled a major room. There were about 125 people there, including dozens of people from different kinds of media. Maybe this will give you an idea of some of the work that I'm doing around the world and how we're increasing knowledge in every nation of the world on the critical issues facing the Earth. Okay, so you'll be able to hear the tape now, and I'll join you again in just a few moments. Thank you very much. Let me move this a little closer. Let's move this together. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. Too far away. Not further? Like too far away from you. Good day to all of you, all the men and women of Ukraine who love freedom and love the idea of preserving your heritage and your rights.
Приветствую всех украинцев, живущих здесь на земле Украины, те, которые любят свободу и любят и уважают свое наследие. В хорошем смысле этого слова.
Make no mistake about it. We here in Ukraine and across the European world are in a struggle for our freedom. The powers of globalism and Zionism are reaching out and they're trying to control the lives, the values, the culture,
and the foreign policy of every nation on earth. This struggle is epitomized by what's happening now in the Iraq war, in the so-called war on terrorism, and in what's called the clash of civilizations. I'll focus this lecture on American foreign policy, both in regard to Europe and Eastern Europe, and in regard to the Middle East and the world. Let us begin by talking about perhaps the most unsettling event of current times, an event which is increasing tensions and terrorism around the world, and that's what's called the Iraq War. And then we can go into the upcoming war, or a war they're trying to create, a bigger and better war in Iran. All right, first, let's talk about the origins of the Iraq War. American policy in Iraq has been in the complete control of what we call the neocons or neoconservatives. The two most important orchestrators of the Iraq War in the United States were Richard Perle and Paul Wolfowitz. Other men associated with the neocons behind this war were, of course, David Wormser, William Kristol, so many, Elliot Abrams, and a whole coterie of radical Jewish extremists. Now, Perle, along with Wormser, wrote a paper in 1996 called A Clean Break, A Strategy for Securing the Realm. A Clean Break, A Strategy for Securing the Realm. Now, this paper, written in 1996, called for a war against Iraq, against Syria, and against Iran. Now, this paper was not written, even though these men served in the United States government, this paper was not written for the United States government. It was written for the Israeli administration of Benjamin Netanyahu. So this was a long-term objective of Perle and the other neocons, who have a long history of dedication to the most radical Zionist elements in Israel. In 2001, of course, the World Trade Center attacks occurred. Even though there was no connection whatsoever between Iraq and the attacks of the World Trade Center, these Jewish neocons tried to create this connection in the minds of the American people. The question was, how, in a propaganda sense, could they convince the American people to go to war against Iraq to fulfill Israeli objectives? And that's when we had the weapons of mass deception. Notice I didn't say weapons of mass destruction. The way to mobilize the American people to war was to say that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction and Iraq posed a threat to the people of the United States of America. Because the American people, obviously, would not be willing to sacrifice thousands of American lives and countless billions of American dollars in a war for Israel rather than American interests. Back during that period, before the Iraq War, I said that Iraq had no weapons of mass destruction. In fact, it was obvious. It was obvious because there were hundreds of inspectors on the ground in Iraq, at least half of them CIA and other operatives of that nature. And America was offering a reward of $20 million to any Iraqi who could show the sites of these weapons storage. You can't hide an alleged thousands of tons of weapons of mass destruction without many people knowing about it. Yet not one weapon of mass destruction was recovered. So it was obvious there were no weapons of mass destruction. And that's where the other part of the equation comes in. The only way they could get this lie over the American people was by the control of the American press. In the United States, the three most powerful newspapers in my country are the New York Times, Washington Post, and Wall Street Journal. All three are under the ownership and the control of Jewish extremists. We have four major news magazines in the United States, or three major news magazines in America: Time, Newsweek, and U.S. News and World Report. And all three are under Zionist ownership and control. And I don't think that I need to tell you how Jewish Hollywood is in America. The ownership of movies and television broadcasting looks like the list at a Jewish wedding. That's the reality of the media in America. And that's why they could sell the story of weapons of mass destruction. So America went to war. And before this war, men such as myself and others, Patrick Buchanan and others, said this war would cost terrible losses in lives, would cost billions of dollars, and would only help the forces of terrorism and extremism in the world. So I want to tell you that this war in Iraq was not a war of American imperialism. It was a war of Israeli imperialism. And not simply, and when I say Jews, I'm not talking about all Jews. There are certainly Jewish people who oppose this war. And there are Jews who oppose Jewish extremism. But the overwhelming organized Jewish powers in America, such as AIPAC, the largest American Jewish lobby, and the Council of Jewish Presidents of Jewish Organizations, which constitute 52 of the very largest Jewish organizations in the United States, were unanimous in their support of this war and unanimous in support of radical extremist Jewish policies on the West Bank and in the Middle East. It saddens me as an American that this war has taken such a terrible toll. The latest statistical studies suggest that since the invasion of Iraq, that an average of 650,000 Iraqis have died. And not only has Iraq been terribly harmed, but America has been harmed. We've almost spent $500 billion. To get an idea of that, just on the Iraq war, that's the sum of the entire budget of Russia times 20. While many middle-class Americans are suffering economically, we're paying for this war, which has been a war that has not helped America, but only hurt America. Now, I have been making these points for a long time. I made these points at this university in the conference before last, the World Anti-Zionist Conference here, Dialogue of Civilizations. Dr. Chokin and your entire leadership of this university have been on the cutting edge of the academic interest in this issue. And I want to take this opportunity. This institution has been under pressure by these same international Zionist forces against this institution. And I want to take a moment to recognize the courageous stance of this university and your president, Dr. Chokin. And to show you the leadership of this university, and as you know, I'm now an alumni of this university, to show you the leadership of this university, recently, the most prestigious American school of government issued a paper that sounds very much like the paper delivered at the Dialogue of Civilizations Anti-Zionist Conference of 2 years ago. Now, I'm talking about the John F. Kennedy School of Government as part of Harvard University, the premier university in the United States of America. The paper was written by John Mearsheimer and a Harvard professor by the name of Stephen Walt. The recent paper was Israel and U.S. Foreign Policy. And in this paper, Walt and Mearsheimer have said exactly the points that I've been making now for about 7-8 years. It's interesting, in fact, the Jewish extremist attacks on the paper first criticized the paper by saying this is the same thing that David Duke says around the world. But instead of hurting the paper's reputation, all it's done is it's brought many people to my website, davidduke.com, and introduced many thousands of academics around the world to these issues. Now, I won't talk too long today, and I will certainly open the floor for questions in just a few minutes. But introducing you to the Iraq War and the dynamics of the Iraq War is a way for me to bring some of these issues at home to Ukraine. Obviously, as an American citizen, as a normal American citizen who wants the best for the American people, not a tiny radical minority, I don't want Americans to fight and die and be maimed and crippled in Iraq. I don't want America to have 60 nations with American bases around the world. I don't want Americans to be hated all over the planet. And as a person of European heritage, I don't want America to control any other nation, because every nation and every people, including the people of Ukraine, must be free to control their own destiny. So I will say some things to you today that the American government will not like, but most of the people of Ukraine understand. First off, the people of Ukraine certainly had a lot of problem with some aspects of your government administrations in the past. But as you know, the CIA and the American government, under the behest of the Zionists, under the control of Zionists, wanted specifically to control the opposition here in Ukraine. And it's been admitted in the Congress of the United States that millions and millions of American dollars went in to support the political activities of your President Yushchenko. America has no right to influence your internal freedom and politics. That's not freedom, and it's not democracy. Today, the Zionists are trying to control the policies of all countries. It's amazing, but true, that when your president came to the United States, his first visit was to the Jewish community before he went to the American government officials. And as you know, I think Mr. Yushchenko has a second wife in the United States with long connections in the Zionist community. This woman, in fact, worked with our former Jewish Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright. And I have a picture of Mr. Yushchenko. In fact, I have it here on my notebook computer, with one of the leading extremist Jews of the United States of America, a rabbi who's part of an organization called Chabad Lubavitch. Now, I believe this. I'm proud of my European heritage, and I want to preserve it. But I believe in treating all nationalities and all races with respect. I don't think any race should be supreme or have supremacy over any other race. Now, as strange as it may seem, and I can document this on their websites, Chabad Lubavitch preaches that non-Jewish people are not even human beings, but animals. Are not even human beings. I know that may sound fantastic and strange to some of you listening to this. It's horrific, but it's true. One of the Chabad Lubavitch members was Rabbi Yitzhak Ginsburg. And to show you their contempt for what they call the Gentile world, Rabbi Ginsburg has a column, a newspaper column, in the largest Jewish newspaper in the United States called the Jewish Week. And in this article, he was asked about Jewish policy in terms of Jewish life as compared to Gentile life. Rabbi Ginsburg asked rhetorically that if a Jew needed a liver, was it moral to take a Gentile from the street, an innocent Gentile from the street, and take his liver? And Rabbi Ginsburg said, yes, it's moral, according to Jewish law. In fact, it's commendable, because Jewish life is higher than all other type of life. Chabad has this opinions toward all non-Jews. Now, I'm not saying every Jew has this opinion, but this organization and their great Rebbe, the great Rebbe of Chabad in this century, has stated these ideas again and again. And yet Chabad is invited to the White House of the United States of America for confabs, conferences. And I have a picture of Chabad rabbis with the radical Jewish extremist head of White House policy, Joshua Bolton. And unfortunately, I have a picture of the same Chabad leader in America with none other than your president, Mr. Yushchenko, arm in arm. And it hurts me to talk about these problems. But it shows the degree of treason that's existing in Western countries to our own heritage, our own values, our own freedom. Now, there's a tremendous effort being made by these radical Zionists, Jewish extremists, I could call them, around the world to suppress freedom of speech and press. A perfect example is what's happened to historian David Irving in Austria. David Irving's books are in almost every library of the world. For offering an opinion about an event during the Second World War, David Irving has been sentenced to 3 years in prison in Austria. When Bush or Yushchenko or anyone else starts talking about freedom, this is not freedom. I have a good friend who's served, who's a doctor of classics at Lyon University. His name is Dr. Bruno Gulnisch. He's a member of the European Parliament. I visited him there on the floor of the European Parliament. Last year, when the press was asking or questioning him about the Jewish persecutions during the Second World War, And they asked him his opinion. He said, I'm no expert on it. He said, those who specialize in those fields should debate these issues and talk of these issues. Simply for saying that, these Jewish radical organizations demand he be prosecuted under so-called hate laws in France. And he lost his European immunity simply for saying that experts should be allowed to debate the issue. They're trying to stifle all academic thought, all dissent in every nation. And the same thing, as you know, is occurring in terms of this great university. As you know, this university is one of the most esteemed universities of Ukraine, and in fact, the entire world. And this university has educated a great percentage of the government officials of this nation. But the Jewish extremists, the Zionists, they don't want there to be academic freedom in this country or political freedom in this country. And there are many different points of view among the faculty and academics of this university. There are members of this university, both faculty and students, that represent a whole spectrum of ideas. But because this university allows a few members to speak out about the problems of Zionism, about the crimes of Israel in the Middle East, and about the Zionist issue around the world, these people want to destroy this university and revoke licenses here. And of course, this university and your students and faculty are resisting this attack against freedom and against the rights of humanity. And I want you to know that although a lot of the policies of these extremists are continuing around the world, there is a big change in the wind. So I want you to know that there are many academics and people around the world who recognize the greatness of this university and who recognize the need for freedom of speech and press. And no matter what these powers may try to do here in Ukraine, you have friends all over the world. Almost the entire world, except for the governments of the United States and Great Britain and certain elements within France and within some of the other nations, almost the entire world is opposed to the policies of Israel. They saw the terrible crimes of Israel, for instance, against the Lebanese people. And they understand that the greatest force of terrorism in the world today is Israel. Israel was created by terrorism. Israel terrorized the Palestinian people and drove them from their homelands. And Israel has maintained this illegal occupation over these decades through terrorism. The daily life of the Palestinian people is one facing terrorism. At any moment, a bomb may come into their homes, their bedrooms of their children. The justification for the last Lebanese war was the supposed kidnapping of three Israeli soldiers. But the media, the same Zionist-controlled media, doesn't point out that at the same time three Israeli soldiers were captured by Hezbollah, that Israel was holding thousands of Lebanese and other political prisoners in their jails who were abducted by Israel. There's little discussion about the Daily. Right now, there are dozens of members of the legally elected parliament of the Palestinians, legally elected parliamentarians who've been put into the jails of Israel and tortured. And again, I want to show you the dichotomy, the difference between the way they bring together the United States and Israel, and yet Israel has really not been a friend of the United States at all.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of the first part of the speech I recently made in Ukraine. And before I go for the day, I want to tell you that my heart is going out to the Hungarian freedom fighters right now on the streets of Budapest and those who are right now sitting in the jails, the dungeons, really, of a new world order in Budapest and throughout Hungary. I oppose in any way, as you know, gratuitous violence or terrorism. But the people in Hungary are not terrorists. They're as much fighters for freedom as were George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, as the men who stood up at Valley Forge, as the men and women of Hungary who stood up against Soviet tanks in 1956. These people are not going and committing terrorist acts. They're trying to vocally protest against the government policies which are destroying their freedoms and truly their ability to live and to survive as a people, as a culture, as a heritage, and their ability to have a decent life for themselves and their children. And they're standing up, and it's a terrible situation to see the loss of human rights and human liberty that are occurring in the nation of Hungary. Thanks so much for being with me, and remember that your support makes possible this program. I need your help, and I need you to help spread this message around the world just as I do. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.